the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Welcome to Education Now's August 2nd, 2012 edition. I am your host, Athena Melville. It is my pleasure to share an interview with Len Greenwood. Len Greenwood is a 25-year veteran high school teacher. He is founder and coordinator of the Montgomery High School Green Academy program, which led to his winning the 2010 Sustainable Individual Award from the Leadership Institute for Ecology and Economy. As well as winning the 2010 Leadership Institute Award, Len Greenwood is a teacher, farmer, writer, professional photographer, surfer, and diver. He believes creating Green Quest Vocational High School will answer a profound need for a comprehensive vocational high school that would give all students the opportunity to train for careers in the emerging green economy. Through partnering with local businesses and other experts, GreenQuest students would study and contribute to real-world causes such as climate change, building efficiency, environmental protection, etc., through practical service learning projects, while also undergoing exceptional academic preparation for further studies. Through profound engagement of student and teacher community members, dropout rates would be reduced, remediation needs eliminated, and emerging students would be nurtured through ongoing mentorships into satisfying career paths. The goal is whole human beings, says Len, ready to take on the profound challenges of our day in a positive and practical fashion. Now to the interview with Len Greenwood. Enjoy. Hello, Len Greenwood, and welcome to Education Now.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have told the listeners a bit about you in the introduction to this interview, so let's start by your telling us about GreenQuest.
Well, GreenQuest was is still a vision that a colleague and I had. Two or three years ago, I had started a program at Montgomery High School called the Green Building Academy, which was supported through a state grant. And we rolled along with that for a couple of years, and it was very limiting in the amount of students we could have in it, mostly 30 in a class. So we had 30 sophomores to start the program, and then the following year we had 30. The sophomores became juniors, and then we had another 30 sophomores. And I felt that we were, you know, hitting a very small percentage of kids who really wanted to learn green career pathway type things and sustainability and just the overall environmental education type of a thing.
Right. And so Montgomery is a high school, and and this this Green Quest is really an attempt to do service learning, but to do it green. Is that right?
Recognizing that we need to change the paradigm of the economy where we put the environment first over profits, and but that everybody, you know, needs good living wage jobs, and taking a look at where we were in this country of just needing to shift in energy use and retrofitting houses instead of building new ones, and in that energy equation, and what we were doing around water use and the pollution in the water and the pollution in the air. I mean, it started growing to the point where we got away from building has become part of the program now. It's more about sustainable education and practices. It's about environmental health. The green building part of it takes in energy alternative energy applications, green design, the use of green materials when you're starting a project, a building project, you know, making our homes safe, whether they're new or they're existing homes where we go in and retrofit, and really looking at, no one was really training kids to be carpenters or plumbers or electricians, and you know, those vocational classes were really disappearing out of the mainstream high schools. So we were able to bring it on with our program at Montgomery. And then, like I said before, as we saw that, we were saying, geez, we're leaving so many kids out of this thing. So do we truly need a pure vocational high school where, with an emphasis on environment first and building a complete citizen and looking for that relationship between business and the students at a young age, at back where it was when probably you and I went to high school, we were offered all that, those classes, and now we don't offer them anymore.
Right. And do you think that this, this will address the high student dropout rate?
Well, up close, and the first thing we say in the vision paper, and when I give talks in various places, that's what I address, is that California, we have 1 in 4 high school students dropping out before they reach graduation, and I believe, and business people believe, that that's because we've lost those classes and those hands-on kids who want training, who want career training, have to wait till they get to either the junior college level, where most of them, if they've dropped out of high school, actually get kicked out of the junior college training classes because they need too much remediation. So we want to bring it back into the high school and at the same time take it up a step academically. So, you know, the vocational arts have always kind of been, well, you go to the back of the school and that's where the shop and the auto shop and whatever is at. We want to bring it up level to the academics. In fact, add the academics to the vocational training classes. If you want to be in this program, you will step up and hit these academic levels also. And in my program at Montgomery, that's exactly what we've proven, that we can ask kids who are coming out of their freshman year who have 3 or 4 Fs on their report card to get in the program as sophomores, step up and start really doing the work, do the critical thinking, really care about the environment, plus have their career training going, and all of a sudden, you know, I've had 2 senior classes graduate, and, 75% of those kids in the program have graduated at academic level with the career training to boot.
That's excellent. And
so it's there. It's proven, you know. So
right.
The next step for us is to try to continue to push the Green Quest idea. And, you know, if we can't make it a complete, like, regional, like Sonoma County Regional Vocational High School, then maybe go within a school and pull in, you know, kids from around the county who would want to attend that school and learn from the real business people. One of the things we're asking business to do is not send us a check, send us one of their employees to train the kids.
So
the kids would do their core classes in the morning, really with an emphasis around environment and protecting environment through all of our sustainable practices. And then in the afternoon, they can look forward to their vocational training classes. They can start their relationship with whatever business they're interested in, whether it's solar or water management or agriculture, and they can start that at the junior level, junior class level, really get some foundation behind them at that level with the business people, and then their senior year, they will actually be interning out in the business community, which my program does already.
That's wonderful. I think it just sounds wonderful. I know that you, there was a conference, the Sustainable Enterprise Conference this past May, and in Rohnert Park. And did you feel that was successful? Did you feel that you got your ideas were supported?
Yes, I asked the director of that. My partner in the development of the Green Quest, Joe Kennedy, teaches down in San Diego now. So I'm kind of up here in Northern California trying to promote this thing and keep it rolling. And we had done the Sustainable Enterprise Conference last year and presented Green Quest, and it got, you know, everyone really loved the idea. So this year I went back in with a different kind of we did a workshop last year. This year I asked the director of the conference if I could have 5 minutes, 10 minutes in front of the entire room of business people, and he granted me that. And I was able to talk about that we really, in the vocational education field, need business to step in and help us, especially with budget cuts the way they are, that if we are going to succeed at this, we really need business to step forward. And like I said, not write a check, just be there for us and train the kids and offer the opportunity to the kids. And they're very willing to do that. They're 100% behind us. I felt very good. I always take kids to my students to the conferences, and they speak also. So, you know, there's some dynamics there that are wonderful to witness, because, you know, you get a 16, 17-year-old in front of 400 business people saying, this program saved me. I had no idea where I was going, but now I have control of my future. I know what I want to do. That's very powerful.
It is very powerful. It's very powerful. I think I would love to hear your students speak to the issue of Green Quest. I think that would be wonderful, and perhaps they could make a video or something.
Oh yeah, well we're looking at different ways, because the program, you know, I have two things going here. I have the working model in my program within public education that's still alive and very healthy in. We've morphed it as it's grown. We had a state grant, and that grant was contingent on the district matching those funds. And so it was kind of catch-22 time. 3 years into the program, the district said, well, you're outside the box. We can't afford, because of budget cuts, we can't keep you going. We can't. So I lost the state grant and the district money. I had made really good relationships, though, with business, and so business stepped in and said, we'll keep you alive. And so we morphed the program in that we still have our building classes. We still have an advanced construction class. I wrote up a sustainable practices class, which brings in freshmen through seniors, can be in the same classroom, studying basically all the issues of sustaining life on the planet and how we're going to do it, and really looking at it right down to the individual, the family, the community, school, county, state, national, global. Every issue is put under the microscope, and we discuss it, we read articles, and they really get an understanding of that, so that then when they go on to their green career, you know, and are picking something to do in their senior year, they have their advocates and activists for the earth. You know, for the environment, and saying there's right practices and there's wrong practices. And if we're going to have economy, and we're going to change it, instead of profits over people and profits over the earth, we're going to have environment as the primary thing we're looking at. They understand that by the time they get into their junior, senior year. That's where the emphasis is. And they can, I'll tell you, these kids can go out and talk it with as good as I can talk it. And it's I feel it's more powerful when they do it, you know. So I always go, okay, here's my 5 minutes. Now here's my heroes, you know. So
That is so beautiful.
It really, they feel very empowered. I'll tell you, They love to talk about it. You know, I had one mother call me this last year and said, my son sat in a room of adults and talked about sustainability and environment for 2 hours, and everybody's jaw was on the ground. He knew his stuff so well, and people were just shaking their heads saying, I didn't know. He was so, you know, the youth is educating the adult world at a lot of these levels now.
Yes, I know. And
I think it's very important, you know, to, we're in talks right now down here in Sonoma County with Economic Development Board and the Sonoma County Office of Education and ROP, at really looking at how do we get these disenfranchised youth back into the fold of public education and give them what they want. You know, and the first part of that is listening to the youth and saying, what do you want? You know, what doesn't work here at school for you? You know, we got into this paradigm a few years ago of one size fits all on youth, and you know as well as I, that's the furthest from the truth there is. And so we need to really, first of all, make them part of the conversation about their education, and then offer them the things that they're requiring. And I would say on the 24%, 25% dropout rate, most of those kids will stay in school if they know they're going to be training for a good living wage job. And, you know, it's not rocket science. You know, it's there to be done, and we need to do it. We need to stop talking about it and make it happen. And for me, it's not just make it happen for my kids. It's make it happen for kids across this country, or we're going to end up being a country with a whole generation of kids that have no idea how to do anything.
Yes, not that, except take a test.
Except take a test, and even that, I mean, they know the test thing now. They don't take it seriously.
Right.
You know, these children we have today in the internet generation, you know, wherever they're going on Facebook or whatever, they are hearing what's going on with the environment. They are hearing about the word collapse come up more and more. They're hearing about, you know, how polluted things are, and they need answers, and that's our responsibility as elders. We and educators, we need to give them the answers and then be the guide for them to take control and empower them so they can solve these problems we've given them. And in too many schools, it's just, here's your history book, here's your science book, here's your English book, and they're sitting there going, this has no relevance to the world collapsing out there right now. Will somebody teach us what to do? And I think once you tell them the truth and say, okay, this is an opportunity to change things, you have the power, I'll be the guide, let's go, they are willing to stay in school and willing to accept the challenge.
Yes, it's if you're honest and direct, which is something, especially those kids that are just moving, you know, in into 13, 14, 15, 16, that's what they need to hear. And yet, you know, Len, what I hear and what I see, and which is why I was so excited to talk to you, because to hear that industry and business is interested and supportive of this is just so exciting, because I know that the textbooks here in California, that when they try to reflect the truth about the environment and global warming, industry stepped in and made them remove that from the textbooks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, that this is why, this is one of the huge reasons why I wanted to have you on, because my goodness, you know, you're actually verifying for these kids that they're right on, that this is what's happening, and you're offering them solutions, and business is supporting you.
Well, we were asked, we went in and talked to a couple of the Sonoma County Board of Supervisor members. We had the incoming Sonoma County administrator, the new person that was going to be the superintendent of all Sonoma County schools, and they asked us, can you get letters of support from business? And we said, this was 2 years ago, we said, sure, how many do you want? They said, oh, you know, can you get us 20 in 2 weeks? And I said, sure, we'll get you 20 in 2 weeks. 1 week later, we walked in with 50 letters of support from business people. I mean, that's where business is at. In understanding, I go around to businesses and talk about this a lot. I have printouts that I take with me, and if somebody's interested in having a printout that explains the program or explains GreenQuest, I give it to them. They all say, who's training our next workforce? There's nobody training our next workforce. And so they understand. They came out of vocational classes probably back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, they get it. But what we're doing is we're eliminating so many of those classes just because of budget cuts and because, well, we've got to have, you know, English, math, science, history. We've got to have those classes, even though there's now 40 kids in a class, and good luck on having enough desks and things. But, well, the arts or the vocational arts, well, sorry, we're going to have to cut. We're going to have to, you know, I've heard that for years now. And Santa Rosa City Schools is facing another $8.5 million in cuts. We've never made up the $25 million in the last 5 years. And so in my program, I really recognized, I saw that coming, and then when they dropped out of the academy model where we lost the state grant, I said, you know, kids, we need to be self-sustaining. We need to be producing products out of our building classes that will buy more wood. We need to be, we had the fortunate opportunity of partnering with a four-acre organic farm last year. We're now, my kids are now farming 1 acre of a certified organic farm. We're selling enough food to run the entire farm program, plus build a learning center out there on the farm to bring elementary school kids in with my kids teaching them farming. So the heck with budget cuts. We'll do it ourselves. That's my kind of attitude. You know?
Yes, it's so you're doing just exactly what Montessori would recommend. And that's what is extremely exciting, Lynn, because it's real world. Yeah, these kids are, you know, she suggested that the age group that you're working with, that they have a farm and sell their product. Mm-hmm. And so that they feel like, you know, they're self-sustaining. And then you told us a little while ago that you were dealing with multi-age groups. You know, you have a multi-age group that you work with, which is another really fantastic thing, because then they're teaching each other. It's so very important. But I didn't ask you, what about the, do you have a lot, as many boys and girls involved in these programs? Or is it, it's pretty much equal?
Yep, 50-50, I'd say, all the way, every year.
Yeah, that's great. And,
oh,
and
it's wonderful.
Pardon?
It's wonderful. You know, I had two of my senior girls this year. Their internship was with the natural resource specialist for the city of Santa Rosa. So they were out 2 days a week in the Laguna section down here in Santa Rosa doing restoration the entire year, working with a dynamic woman teacher from Santa Rosa JC. I had, let's see, 8 kids working the farm, 4 boys and 4 girls. You know, I've got one dynamic girl coming up this year who's going to be working with the top green architecture firm in Santa Rosa. So, you know, it goes all over the board where they want to go and where they want to then continue their education. You know, most of them, I'm finding now, as they get a taste for educating younger kids, that a lot of them are saying, I'm going to go on and be a teacher.
Yeah.
Be doing this stuff when I, you know, graduate. They want to share,
right,
their knowledge.
Yeah, that's
exciting.
That's really beautiful, and especially in this environment where teachers are not getting the respect that they deserve in public schools, especially. It's nice to hear. Well, I'm not as surprised that you're having success with small business and business here in Northern California, because we are up here in the north compared to the rest of the nation, or most of the nation, very savvy and very concerned about the environment.
Yeah,
but But big corporations, you know, if this really took off, which it should, and because it's so fantastic, it's just exactly what's needed, and it's so wonderful that it's being offered. If it really took off in a big way, the battles that would have to be fought are with these big major corporations who influence the textbooks in California. So I wish we had. Do you have any advice about how to deal with that, Len?
Going up against big corporations. Yeah, there we are. You know, we study a lot in my sustainable practices classes about big corporate entities, whether they're ag or oil, or even, you know, the whole greenwashing of things by corporations now that, oh, they're going to be, they're people friendly. You listen to the Chevron ads and everything.
And climate change denying, you know, the deniers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it goes back to that old adage, education is power, knowledge is power. And if we are able to, you know, I have a colleague that says to me, I don't know how you keep doing this without somebody coming in and shutting you down because you're telling them the truth. And it's like, geez, I thought we were all supposed to be doing that, you know.
Yeah.
If you can continue making them critical thinkers where they question the corporations and they confront the corporations on their practices, and you realize that it's all around consumerism and resource, you know, taking, and that you raise a generation of children that can then confront that and then think of better ways to use resources, and that everybody doesn't need a new, you know, iPhone every month because the corporation tells you you do. Or, you know, we went through this whole thing in my environmental health class. The girls walking in, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old girls that are pretty anyway with gobs of makeup on. And I go, you know, your skin's the biggest organ on your body. You're poisoning yourself every day. And then we went to the environmental group website, and I said, here, look at these lists of all the stuff on makeup. We didn't even get the food yet. I mean, wait till we get the food. But here, let's look at you girls that use all this makeup. I would say, my wife and I were just talking about this last night, 90% of my female students stopped with the makeup or went to environmentally friendly makeup.
Isn't that great?
They got the knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the corporations and guys that are writing the textbook want to keep them dumb, want to keep them, you know, mesmerized by their little electronic gadgets, and want to keep them separated from the knowledge in the world that's the truth. And so what we have to do, whether it's me in a classroom or just people, hopefully parents, you know, is say to these kids, you got to look at what's healthy for you. You know, why do we have this insane outbreak of cancers in the world? And let's go back and study from Silent Spring, and let's read Silent Spring when Rachel Carson was talking about 500 man-made chemicals in the world, and now there's 100,000. What in the hell are we doing to ourselves?
What are we doing?
Why are we letting them get away with it? You pose those questions to teenagers, and they start getting upset and pissed off. And then you've got to be able, though, to direct them to the actions that they need to take.
To positive actions.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Think critically so that, to me, that's the biggest weapon, the biggest thing we can do towards the corporations is educate these kids to start asking why.
Yes, and isn't that the truth? And many times I've thought that's why these businesses coming into education and doing a makeover, you know, where the truth is being lost. Let's just keep our kids, I think, are going to be okay with people like you. And in here in Northern California, most of the communities are putting out what they possibly can for the kids in education, even though it could be so much better if it was funded properly. But right. When I think about the children who live in poverty or in a state like Texas,
oh my God,
it just,
or Arizona, where they, you know, can't even have, you know, Hispanic, you know, studies,
right,
you know, anymore.
It would just break your heart. It's just heart. It's just heartbreaking.
Well, my brother lives back in Wisconsin, and we were talking the other day, and he said, well, in Milwaukee, the dropout rate's 33%. Chicago, up around 50 now. And I just read an article where they have roving bands of youth just causing havoc in Chicago because, why? Because they have nothing else to do, you know? Come on, you know, stop dropping bombs on countries and stop, you know, building drones and stop, you know, doing your warships and everything like that and put some money into invest in the future here. That blowing things up is not investing in the future.
No.
Planting the seeds of knowledge is investment in the future. But you see, corporations I don't think want, really the big mega corporations don't want that. They want that consumer who's going to buy something new from them every month because the other thing was such crap that it wore out.
Right. Yes, I saw a great poster the other day. You know, if someone poisoned your food, your water, and your land, they would go to prison.
Yep.
Why do we allow it? Right.
That's right.
Why do we allow it?
I just heard David Suzuki speaking from the Rio, you know, climate
summit.
Conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just a dynamic, you know, interview with Amy Goodman, and you know, I got the transcript because I'm going to read it first day of class.
Yes.
Here it is, guys. Here's exactly what we're up against, and
yes.
Here's a man who's going to tell you, pretty simple terms, what we need to do. Why do we accept this? The first assignment that I do with my students every year is have them write a paper about what the number one thing is that's unacceptable to them in the world. Then I come back on the midterm final with the same question, and then the final has the same question on it also. And I see if the answers start changing. And that's when I know I'm a success as a teacher.
Yes.
When they really start changing.
When they really get it.
Yeah, when they get it and the critical thinking plugs in and they go, I have kids telling me, oh, this stuff is hard. And I go, yeah, changing the world's hard. Thinking is hard, guys. You know, you don't do enough of it. You know, God, why do we have to think so? You know, these are heavy-duty issues. And I go, well, you live in the world. You know, you're part of nature. You're not dominant over nature. You're part of it. And as soon as you start figuring that out, we're going to be okay, but come on, guys. You know, they get it. They start, at least my small little group gets it, where it's, that's, you know, that's heartening that they get it and they want to go on and they want to continue talking about it. And I just wanted to, it needs to be out there in all education. We're in a crisis.
We are in a crisis. And there's so much denial.
Right.
There's
so
much.
Let them do this to your planet. Why do you let them get away with it? Why is it acceptable to have, you know, the cancer rates where they are? Why is it acceptable to have the diabetes rates the way they are? We ask those questions in class. We explore what's going on with the food system. You know, I come into my environmental health class. First thing I do is nutrition, because they are walking in the room with the most god-awful food on the planet. You know? It's mind-boggling. And they change. I do this thing where I bring in a whole box of organic apples one day, and they disappear like they've never seen or eaten an organic apple. This doesn't taste like an apple. Well, that's because you're eating these apples that have been stored, you know, for a year up in cold storage. This is what an apple is supposed to taste like, guys. I mean, then I go, okay, who wants donuts the next day? And, oh, yeah, we'll have donuts. I said, too bad. You're going to get apples, you know? And by the end of the week, it's like, where's the next box of apples? Because these are great. And see, it's just simple thing.
Right.
Bring them in and offer it and say, you going to learn something here? They'd much rather have the apple than the stupid donut.
If you offer a bowl of fruit, I know I did this when my children were young. I would put the bowl of fruit out there. I mean, it would just disappear. Mm-hmm. They just, as some people say, the first fast food. But apples, especially, it's one of those fruits that unless you're getting it organic, you're putting a lot of toxin into your body.
We cover that too. We cover what's on the skin and what's going on with these things and why organic is so important. And we want to take that to the next level. In that, I'm writing now for our little farm, putting together a learning center so we can start bringing elementary school kids in.
Oh, that's fabulous!
Really talk about. Start with introduction to the organic farm and why do we call it an organic farm, and really go that with elementary school kids. And we're going to be bringing them out every month through the entire school year. So in January, when the farm's asleep and it's raining and the cover's, we're going to be talking what's happening now on the farm and what are we doing to get ready to look forward. And then as we get into February and March and we're starting seeds, and we have little titles for each one for the kids to be involved in. But it's not just, here we are in September, oh, look, everything's growing, and it's pretty, and look, that's all there is to do, and we're not really working. We're going to do the whole year and bring these kids out and really introduce them. But after the first month of introduction to the organic farm and what it all means, the second month is nutrition and really talking, pesticides, herbicides, and how we don't do that on an organic farm, and how health, we're going to get healthy because of the way we eat, and pay attention, but again, I have a population of kids whose parents are strapped for money, and they look at a bag of, apples for 79 cents a pound, as opposed to organic apples at $2.99 a pound, and they'll tell you straight up, My wages will not buy that organic. And, you just go, okay, but down the line, your health issues you're going to be paying for health issues on this. But they still, they can't afford. There's a lot of people that can't afford with a family to go purchase organic. And we keep trying to educate the kids so the kids say that. But I've had kids come to me saying, I've told my parents, but they say we can't afford it. What do I do?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Or if you can go find a farm that doesn't use, of course it could be contaminated just from the air, the seeds, airborne, can contaminate, but a lot of times if you can find a tree, a person that hasn't been, raped by these new technologies for our food, then you can pick those fruits and eat them.
Right.
And that can work. Or learning about the wild plants, that's another avenue for kids, and then they can, that's another survival, a way to talk about survival. It's really sad that we have to talk about survival.
Right.
It breaks my heart. Well, I know that, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Lynn, is the title, the Montgomery High School Green Academy Program. Do you find that the people are resistant because you call it a vocational high school, that people think that you're not going to be doing academics when they hear that vocational high school?
No, because anybody who's interested, the process of this, if I'm talking to them out in the community, that's pretty much the first thing I say is we teach at the academic level. If I've got my counselors talking to students, or I have parents who are interested at at events that I talk at or something, I bring that. That's one of the first things on the plate, is that we raise this up to academic levels and really push for the academic, so that it's, you know, it can be not only a vocational program but a college-bound program. It can be for the kids who really want to go on. My top senior this year, who was, you know, basically the leader of the program and did a lot of speaking engagements with me, she had 4.5 grade point average academics. She's going to the University of Arkansas to study environmental science. So, but she was in the program 3 years, and she benefited. I mean, when she did her application and she put that she had been an intern in natural resource and restoration, I mean, the bright lights went on for that application. You know, she had it both going for her, so.
Yes.
You know, I've never had anybody, you know, say, well, you're not going to push the academic part. In fact, it's interesting on back to school night when the new parents are around. I mean, I've got the parents who have been with me for, you know, 2 years, 3 years, because the kids stay with me or in the program for that long. But the new parents are always curious about where are you going with this? What's this? And I mean, they're amazed at back to school night when we really start talking. And they'll make comments like, well, Johnny never spoke about school at all, and now this class is the talk of the dinner table every night. And it's getting us off our butt, and we're starting to be activists again, because we realize, you know, looking at what's coming home with them and the articles that you guys are reading and the critical thinking that's being done, we need to act. And we haven't. We've kind of gone to sleep, you know. So it gets the parent engaged with the kid again, for crying out loud, which is kind of unheard of in public education in high school anymore.
Yes, it is. It is, and that's really sad. I was going to ask you what your student-faculty ratio is, and I mean, how many students do you have normally?
With the way things are going right now, with cuts and everything, my sustainable practices classes were at in the high 30s each class, and my environmental health was lower 40s in a class.
Mm-hmm. And
so
is it
a lot of kids?
A lot of kids. And is it just? Are you the only adult or, you know, teacher? You don't have an aide or a parent with you?
No, I'm it.
That is
yeah,
a.
I bring my seniors on to really be mentors also.
Right.
And
yeah.
They're in strategic places where I usually try to get one of my seniors in. They call it inside work experience.
Mentor teaching.
A lot of the teachers use them to, can you record grades in the grade book? For my inside work experience and my peer tutor students, you get like one a class. Those are my seniors who have been with me for 2 years, so that's an extra class for them. But they're really on top of it during the conversations, and I mean they are involved in the classes, even though there might be 20, 25 freshmen and 10 sophomores and 2 or 3 juniors. That senior who's been with me for two years, being in that class is kind of like an aide position. They will step up and really help me, you know.
Yes.
In getting the stuff across. So
that is. And do they get credit for being, you know, taking that on, that responsibility? I know. They do.
Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Really
yes, it is.
Well, another thing we did this year, the Sonoma County Energy Independence Program director and I are really good friends, and she was saying we're really having a hard time getting this information out to homes and stuff. And I said, how about letting my seniors in teams of two go to elementary school? We will write up a 35 to 45 minute energy presentation. Let my seniors present that. You pay them, besides their internship, you pay them during the course of the school day to go up to elementary schools and educate the younger kids on energy and energy efficiency and then have a couple of assignments that they go home and do with their parents. They bring back to school to the teacher, so it's all part of the teaching process. Let my kids, let my seniors be the teachers. They said, okay, so for 3 months, my kids did over 7,000 elementary kids and 100 presentations in this spring. And it was a smash hit. All the teachers that they went to in the elementary schools called me or wrote me and said, we want to do this again next year. This is dynamite, having seniors educate, you know, the elementary school kids.
It is. It's fantastic.
And all those kids, all my kids, were just, they come back in there, it was a natural high for them. They were just like, this is so great, man. We were so hot, you know. And it was like, doesn't that feel good, guys? You know, you educated all these kids. And not only that, but they went home with assignments to do energy audits around their house with their parents. And there they are doing stuff with their parents on a thing. And you know, the elementary school teachers were just so happy with it that we're bringing it back this year. So
I just am so proud of you, Lynn. It's so Montessori, having the kids do public speaking, having peer teaching, honoring the students by paying them for this. This is all things that I did in my private Montessori school.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so fantastic. And getting them involved in real life issues and taking responsibility, involvement with the community, not just the academic community, but the business community as well. All of these things, it's just so holistic. And I'm just so excited. I wish that you would do, your students would make a video or something and about this that we could make it go viral.
I've got a kid coming back that wants to be he was a junior with me last year, and so I was getting to know him, and he wants to make films. In fact, he goes to these film academy places in the summer to learn more. So, you know, I really think that's what will happen this year, is that will be his internship, is to start making short films about, you know, our program and where it could go and the possibilities of GreenQuest, you know, happening where you had, instead of a, you know, we have 200 and some kids in the program right now at Montgomery, and various, whether they're taking building or sustainable practices or the health class, you know, there's like 220 kids involved right now. I want to see thousands of kids involved, you know, so all over the counties and the country. To me, this is where we need to get to if we're going to bring the literacy rates, you know, back into, get them under control, you know. Detroit's supposed to be like 55% illiterate right now. It's like, come on, you know, that doesn't have to be. These are human beings with an incredible amount of potential. Let's get it. Let's get on this and make it work. And if this can be a model for it, great. I mean, it keeps me going. I love it. You know, I promote it. I try to make it, you know, so people understand it, so people will support it. And we have meetings this next week of really looking at taking one of the high schools in Santa Rosa and actually making part of that high school GreenQuest High School and offering it to the 5 high schools within Santa Rosa City Schools. Well, that's another baby step, but takes my 200 and all of a sudden makes it 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big step, you know, I think. And if we can do that and then show that can be a success. But really, we've had talks this last week with a couple of the programs that we're doing, like 18 to 24-year-olds who had dropped out of high school and were lost or who were gang involved and who got back into this vocational program. It's called Youth Build. Well, they just lost their federal funding. And it's like, how can you lose your federal funding on a program like this? I mean, it's got win-win all over it. But we were talking about, you know, we need to take that energy and the visions of all these educators, and so that program doesn't need to exist anymore. We need to get those kids educated back in high school again. But that means offering the things that they're going to want, that keeps them excited to be there. And, yeah, you know, not every kid's going to go, oh, you know, history, science, English are really my favorite subjects. But they will do them, and they'll do them at a high level if they know that they're going to be learning something else in the afternoon.
Well, because it's all connected. You have to know. If you know the history, then you understand why we're in the situation that we're in. And, you know, and if you know the science, then you know how to solve the problem. But if you don't even know there's a problem, you don't even know why you're learning this history, how it's applicable. You don't see the connections. You also have the fortunate ability of having these students for more than 1 year.
Yes,
that's another huge problem, especially when you have these overcrowded classrooms. Then there's no consistent person year after year. Well, you're giving that too. I mean, so much of what you're doing is Montessori, and it's so exciting, and it should be available to all students, and it should be available at a much lower student to teacher ratio, so that those children who are in poverty, those children who have super emotional problems, get what they need. That's what this is supposed to be about. This is supposed to, we're supposed to be the caring profession,
right?
You know,
well, I had one kid that came in and he just said, I'm doing homeschooling, and, I mean, he was just hyper, you know. Most teachers don't like me. I come here for my electives, and I decided to take your class. I mean, he's talking that fast, and I was like, okay, Ricky, slow down, you know. And he now is like one step away going into his senior year of working with an electric car conversion company because he wanted to be a mechanic. And I kept saying, if I can get you there, can you – will you plug into this? And he said, yeah. And he finally, at the end of the year, he said, you know what? You respected me. Nobody respected me through my whole school. You respected me, and you worked with me, and you treat me like a human being. And I mean, he was like Ritalin or whatever. And I mean, just, I keep saying, you know, you don't need to be on that. Just have something to do, buddy, you know?
Right.
He's excited now. I have a friend of mine who does solar installer training. You know, for entry-level solar installing.
Yes.
I got hit into that. He wasn't even, you know, he was just barely in my program. And I said, how about doing this? And he said, I'd love to do that. And I said, okay, you're in. Again, you've got to show up every Saturday for 6 weeks because it's Saturday morning. You've got to do this, you know. And he did. He was there every Saturday, and he got it. And my friend who does the instruction said, there was nothing wrong with that kid. And I went, that's right.
That's right. So many of these kids who are on Ritalin are boys, and diagnosed as ADD, and it's, you know, they can't sit still. Well, you know, they're not good at, you know, sitting there and listening to instruction. They need to be involved and engaged. The drug is just it's disgusting. It's beautiful
right.
that you addressed it in that way, and in engaging him as a human being, eyeball to eyeball, Lynn, just so awesome. Well,
there's so many of these kids that are, I don't know, they're just, we had a discussion the other day with one of the top people in education here, and he was saying, you know, he comes from the Latino community, and we were saying, you know, these kids are really intelligent and everything, and we're really not doing them a service, just pushing them through school and hoping they're going to get through. And if they drop out, oh, well, they just become one of the numbers. And, you know, we can't be doing that. We have to value every individual kid. And they're coming from these incredibly diverse backgrounds. You know, especially in the Latino community, the parents are working two or three jobs to stay afloat, and we were sitting there, and I said, you know what it is? I sit there and I see a big percentage of kids coming in as freshmen, who it's like their parents have just went, okay, you're a freshman in high school, good luck, you're on your own. And, you know, and it's, I mean, I see that there's no parental involvement for 4 years. So how the hell are these kids expected to get anywhere? You know they're not doing homework. You know there's nobody at home saying, did you do your homework? There's nobody helping them with homework. There's nobody, you know, it's here, I'll just turn the old little box on and stare at it for a few hours and go to sleep.
It is very sad that parenting skills are at such a low.
And that's one of the big problems, I think, in education.
We need it is.
Parents again, but again, there's corporations stepping in and making sure those parents are under as much stress as possible.
That's right. And
we have some big problems to solve.
We do. We have some big problems to solve. And teachers could be the solution if they hadn't been defamed and slandered. And the whole educational system, the public educational system, has just been defamed, and it's criminal what's been allowed to happen, and that none of the experts have been called in. You know, I've had so many of you on Education Now, and it's just a treasure trove of amazing people doing amazing work that none of the media, not even the PBS and NPR, you know, utilize. They don't really call in education experts. They call in business people, the Gates, and they call in celebrity.
Yep.
And it's pathetic, really pathetic.
Well, we're fortunate down here, the actually AM station on Santa Rosa, KSRO, I started the program 4 years ago, I got a hold of the guy that does the afternoon talk show and went in and did an interview with him, and he's been very supportive. So anytime I have something going on or really want to push something or there's things going on with education, his producer calls me up, and I make sure to go in there. I take kids with me during those interviews, and, you know, he's been there for us, and I think that's been part of the success of our program is that the word's getting out, and it's working, and kids want to be involved, and oh, gee, that's not happening at my school. I want to go over to Montgomery and be part of that program. So it really is getting the word out.
Yes, it is. It's getting the word out. And I know that persons who listen to Education Now, teachers and educators and parents, may want to contact you. Shall I ask them to send me an email and then I'll see that you get it? Or do you
sure.
want to give out contact information?
Well, I'm not at school, so, you know, I'd have them send you something, and then, you know, I definitely love talking to people, so.
Okay. So if the
only way we're going to change this thing is if people start talking about it and getting involved in it and supporting, you know, programs like mine. And, you know, example two, I just learned that Windsor High School, which is right above Santa Rosa, they became they had an environmental academy the same time that my program came on. They just got shut down, you know, another one, because of funding. And instead of fighting for that, the leader of that program just resigned. He just, you know, and to me that's, you know, that's terrible in itself. That, you know, here's a guy that really had it going. The kids loved the program. They were involved. They were engaged in it. And because he had a little program outside the box of norm, then game over after 4 years. And that's the class in the program that shouldn't be going away.
It is. That's the class in the program that the unions should be fighting for.
That's right.
And just like they should have fought against these tests, just like they should have come out strong when teachers were attacked. And I so much believe in collective bargaining. I really believe in it, but I really feel like there's a lot of corruption going around in the big corporations and in big unions, because this should never have been allowed to happen. Were programs that offer solutions, to our problems and solutions to the apathy of these children are shut down.
Yep. I couldn't more agree. You know, and it's something that when I speak, I always address the room first of saying good morning or good afternoon, all you elders, all you beautiful elders, and they all laugh, you know, and everything. I'm 61, and so I got the gray hair going and everything. I go, no, I got my senior standing here. I said, these are elders to the elementary school kids. We are all elders, and it, part of being an elder is to be a mentor. So can every one of you people in the room go find one or two kids and start getting involved in their lives, helping them out, seeing where they want to go, you know, doing what you can for that kid, engaging them in a conversation about the climate. Because if we don't, I don't see that the solutions are going to be there.
Yes. All of this segregation of ages was a huge mistake in the first place. And it's beautiful that you're trying to bring it back, Lynn. I'm myself approaching 68, and I remember when I moved to California, we were to go to graduate school. We chose California, and we had an opportunity to go lots of places because we knew we wanted to have children, and the education was free and second only to New York. And that was in 1967. And in 1980, everything collapsed in public education. And it was a painful, painful, all the lies. And so I know that we know how to do a fantastic job. I know that we know how. And I'm just glad that you're not giving up, Lynn, on the kids or on the work that you're doing to enlighten them and your community about education and about the environment with this Green Quest. It's a beautiful vision and wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you. I love every minute of it.
Great. Well, thank you for this time. Is there anything else?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I love... Yeah, thank you so very much for agreeing to be a guest on Education Now, Lynn.
Yes, and, you're welcome.
And I'll talk to you soon again, I hope. It would be great to have a round table with your students. I'll see if I can get my technology experts in Education Now. If they could arrange something like that, I'll let you know.
That would be wonderful. I'd love when I get back to school, you know, to bring my seniors together and have them talk to you, because they would blow your mind.
Oh, I just would love it so much. I'm going to work on that, Lynn.
Okay, good idea. And I'd love to be on your show again, so anytime.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for the time.
Sure, thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
It was so wonderful to hear about the level of peer teaching taking place in the Green Hands-On Learning of Lynn Greenwood's programs. It truly reflects the spirit of Maria Montessori. I thank and commend Lynn for his work, and I hope we hear from him and his students on Education Now in the very near future. Thank you to Sasha Benedetti for leading me to Lynn and his work. If you want to contact Lynn Greenwood, please send an email to hermes@pacific.net. That's hermes@pacific.net. Or visit the Education Now Facebook page and leave your comments there. And we will see that Lynn gets your feedback. Montgomery High School Green Academy has a Facebook page. So just go to Facebook and put in Montgomery High School Green Academy Green Construction and Design Pathway, and it will take you to their Facebook page. That's Montgomery High School Green Academy Green Construction and Design Pathway. You can listen and download free anytime at this website. And please do join us on the Education Now Facebook page or on our Google Plus page to leave comments and join the conversation. Education Now is a production of the Hermeneutic Institute for Holistic Health and Education. Education Now podcasts are listed on the American Montessori Society website at www.amshq.org in the local events pages. Sending cosmic love to you all. This is Athena Melville saying goodbye for now.
Are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know.